Hello, and welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge. Today, we are going to talk about your dog's sniffer. Dogs are always sniffing around, but it's not because they're always hungry. Unlike us, they interpret the world primarily through smell. Did you know that the sense of smell is more important to a dog in interpreting its world than its sense of seeing or hearing? Biologist Dr. David Menton shares that the dog's sense of smell is said to be 1,000 to 10,000 times better than our own, depending on the breed. If our sense of vision were as good as a dog's sense of smell, what we now see a third of a mile away, we could see over 3,000 miles away. As with humans and other mammals, the dog's sense of smell is located in the olfactory region. That's a moist patch of cells in the roof of the nasal cavity. But while this region is about the size of a postage stamp in humans, it can be as large as a handkerchief in a dog. Let's discuss the inner workings of your canine companion's nose. In order to understand how their noses work, we need to know a bit about their olfaction, which is the process by which they actually smell what they sniff. It's time to put your thinking cap on for a couple of minutes. We're going to get a little technical, but I will explain it. According to Dr. Devin Spencer, who is a doctor of veterinary medicine, the sense of smell needs several key physical traits. To the point, it needs a way to bring the air-carried sense to the cells that can bind to those sense and send information through the nerves going to the olfactory lobe of the brain. This is the part of the brain that processes scents which are presented to it. This type of odor detection is common to all mammals, but canines differ in three ways: their mechanism of airflow, the number of receptors in their nasal cells, and the amount of their brain devoted to interpreting the data. In looking at the mechanism of airflow with dogs, dogs breathe in through the dorsal or higher part of their nostrils and breathe out through the ventral or lower part of their nostril. This creates a streamlined sampling of air for scents. They also are taking in different air samples with different scents in each nostril. This allows them to take both nostrils' information and combine it to let them know the location from which a scent came from. Regarding the number of receptors, dogs have approximately 220 million receptors in their nose compared to a human who has approximately 6 million receptors. The volume of the olfactory lobe, or dedicated space, of your dog's brain is 3 times that of our own, and it's 31 to 40% of their total brain volume, compared to a human's 0.1%. This allows your pooch to utilize all the information they receive. So the key things were the mechanism of airflow, the number of receptors in their nasal cells, and the amount of their brain that is devoted to interpreting the data. To understand the complexity of the physical aspects of olfaction, both physiologically, which is the chemicals, and morphologically, the physical structures, we also need to be aware of the information it takes to make this all happen. The physiological and the morphological parts are known as an organism's phenotype. Their genotype is comprised of the genes, which are stored in their cells and tells them how to make these components. Current research estimates that there are over 800 genes needed to encode these components, the largest gene family in mammals currently identified. 50% of these genes are highly conserved, meaning that there is a little variability among mammals. The other 50% is highly variable. These are genes that differ among different species. The variable regions are used for identification. This is why the basic components of all mammal olfaction are the same. While different animals have different variations of these components, leading to a difference in sensitivity to odors. So, in a scent test, why would some dogs perform better than others? Wolves compared to red short-nosed pups, for instance. If we were to look at their specific genotypes, or the genes stored in cells which tell them how to make components, we would expect that these animals would not only share the conserved or similar 50% of the olfactory genes, but they would also share a large portion of the variable or differing genes as well. Individuals that did not have the same test results would have some specific locations in their genes that would differ from their counterparts. The scent test gives us information on these groups of animals' phenotypes. Remember, phenotypes are the physiological or chemical and the morphological or physical structures. It will take further research to confirm how closely the genotypes line up with the phenotype results. The genes' chemical makeup and physical structures compare and differ among dog types. Why am I explaining this to you, you might be asking? It's because the very complexity of these interactions cannot possibly be brought about by random chance. They had to all exist at the same time in order to work so perfectly together. God designed man's best friend to produce a vast array of types, each with a suit of traits just right for a special need. Tom Hennigan, who is a science educator and wildlife ecologist, wrote in Answers Magazine that gray wolves don't appear in the fossil record until the middle of the Ice Age, centuries after the flood. Indeed, the gray wolf is only one out of 35 living species in the canine family. Dogs don't appear in the fossil record until the end of the Ice Age, sometime after gray wolves, foxes, and their other relatives. Many recognize that it would be very difficult to tell when the first dogs were domesticated because their anatomy would be wolf-like. For example, at least one late Ice Age site in Europe contained a wolf buried in a cemetery similar to a cemetery for humans. Was this an early dog? Researchers hypothesized that there were probably not a lot of physical changes from the wolf to the early dogs. This understanding would explain why dog artifacts do not appear until near the end of the Ice Age. Let's just step to the side for a moment on a slightly relatable note. Puppy slobber is good for you. Science in Perspective from Answers in Genesis tells us that dirt and germs may not be so bad for babies. Several studies over the past 20 years have found that children who grow up with dogs have lower rates of asthma, obesity, and other health problems. Let's not overlook the fact that God created bacteria as an integral part of the health of our bodies. God made us to share the same world with animals. Children who grow up with dogs and other pets tend to have a more diverse community of gut bacteria.
God designed life as a community. We need each other, from the microbes that help our bodies function to the world around us that provides food and clothing. This intricate interplay of living organisms clearly points to the Creator's design.
Let's step back on the path of talking about your dog's sniffer. Not all good sniffing dogs have behavioral traits that would make them very trainable. Labrador Retrievers, German Shepherds, and Beagles are good for jobs that need trainable dogs with excellent sniffers. Bloodhounds, for example, have great sniffers, but they are very hard to train. The complexity of a dog's sense of smell and how it is interwoven with its behavior, or just the whole design, points to the need for a divine creator. According to the American Kennel Club's website, 51 of the 197 dog breeds now recognized by this organization have become members since the year 2000. In pursuit of our own desires and in thinking we know what is best in a breed, we continue breeding by artificial selection, decreasing their overall vitality and ability. For example, the short-nosed dogs that have a more limited ability to detect smells. Looking at the variety of these dogs' physical characteristics gives us a hint at the variety of information God placed in the first two canines. With the complexity of this system of information and physical components, it is unfathomable to believe that it occurred by random chance. Once again, we see the creation point to the Creator, God. The next time you pet your pup, think about that snout and how amazing it is. Have a blessed day. This is Diana signing off with another moment in creation.